Welcome to another inspiring message recorded at Rivers Church.
We're going to continue with the second half of the message that we started last weekend on making better choices in life. Making better choices in life. And as we start out today, I want to show you a clip on the screen in a couple of moments. And it's one that we produced for our Heroes Men's Conference. And it's the story really of a guy in our church, many of you would know him, whose life has been defined in two halves really. And the outcome of those two halves was determined simply by the choices that he made in life. So be blessed. Have a look at this.
It was rough upbringing. My mother died when I was young. She was drinking, her body collapsed. I had stepbrothers, there was drama at home, so I went into a different world. I'd finished matric and I went to the army, and it was quite rough. We were in the riots in Soweto, and it was rough in those days. Then I left the army, and my friends were working in clubs, and you couldn't find a job, and so you went into the bouncing industry. It's almost like an addiction, where you're out at night, people look up to you, and you've got friends or people all around you all the time. Should have been working, saving money, building a career, buying a house, but we were fighting, drinking. I thought I was a main guy. No good. I was severely assaulted in Cape Town in 2000. There was actually a hit on my life. I got too close to something. They split my head open. I've got metal plates in my head and that. It was rough. It was rough. But I survived. So I thank God for that. Then I met this client that had lost 100 million in Durban. And he needed protection. And I came down to look after him. I try to think back and think it was lonely. Never really had a purpose. Then my mate Vis said to me, come to Rivers. Yeah, I was like mesmerized. It's like, I'd never been to a men's conference before. And I went and it's unbelievable. It's like so many guys together. Like you hear about these things, but you actually need to be there to witness it yourself. I heard Jeff Osborne stand on stage talking about how he was in prison.
I was a former gang member, a former drug dealer, a former ex-felon who got sentenced to prison for 16 years to life. I read scriptures on freedom like nobody's business, although every day I was locked down 24 hours a day in a prison cell. And I began to preach the word of God to men who were hopeless. I began to speak to the Bloods and the Crips and the SAs. The head general of the Nazi lowrider prison gang had a swastika the size of my head, had tattoos to show that he killed blacks, and became my best friend. When I go to court, they said, Mr. Osborne, you got a letter on your behalf from the assistant warden of Chino State Prison. Never saw the man. Never met the man. Never shook his hand. And this is what he said. This is a good young man who hit a bump in the road. Let him go.
As a PR and putting people in jail and that, I know how the system works. There's no way that he could have got out early if there wasn't a higher power. There's no way that could have happened. And I just said, well, that's me. Where do I go? Where do I sign up? Done, done, done. My life's changed since then completely. Now I actually have like a purpose where if they phone me to come to church now, if I'm in a meeting, I'd be there. I always have a reminder. I've now got praying hands with what a beautiful name it is, the name of Jesus. On this arm here, I've got in my Father's house, there's a place for me. I'm a child of God, yes I am. People see this and they say, so you're going to get a sleeve now, Sean, and this. And I say, no, no, no. This is for me to remind me of where I'm going and what path I now have chosen. No one's chosen that path for me, I've chosen it. So I've always got like peace that he's given me, if I can explain it like that. I don't know how to explain it. Something like that. Yeah. Don't smack people anymore. Just tell them, come, I'll take you to church. Sometimes you have to take away the big brave attitude, and you actually a tortoise. You want this hard outer shell with a soft inside. You need some guidance. People must give God a chance to work in their life. Don't give him a week. Commit properly. Don't be half-hearted. Don't jump in the pool to get half wet. Jump in to get wet, and you'll see the difference.
Isn't that great, eh? I love that line. I don't hit people anymore. I just bring them to church now. You know what? I think that clip really illustrates one of the great truths in life, is that life gets better when we make better choices. Your life will always get better when you make better choices. And let me just say, the reason I showed you that is not because Sean is perfect and Sean has got his life all together. Sean's on a journey like many of us are, but he's made a series of better choices. And as a result of that, God has begun to use him, and his life has taken a drastic turn from where it was. Deuteronomy 30 verse 19 is the verse for this message. God says, "Today I've given you the choice between life and death, between blessings and curses. Now I call on heaven and earth to witness the choice you make. Oh, that you would choose life so that you and your descendants might live. You can make this choice by loving the Lord your God, obeying him, and committing yourself firmly to him. This is the key to your life." God is very clear in his word that our choices determine the outcome of our lives. And, you know, it's very simple. If you want to change the direction of your life, if you want to change things, well, you simply have to make new choices, different choices, or better choices than you've made in the past. Just to very quickly recap from last week, the five things we mentioned. Firstly, is that each day is filled with choices to make. The truth is, there will never be a day in your life where you don't have to make choices. Some of those choices might seem mundane, but very often we have to make choices on a daily basis that could be potentially life-altering decisions. Secondly, God has given us freedom of choice. God did not create us as robots. He did not create us like one of the animals. He created us for relationship, but to have relationship with him, he had to give us freedom of choice so that we could freely choose to have relationship with him. Thirdly, freedom of choice does not mean free of consequence. Many people live in a way where they want the freedom of choice. They want to do whatever they want to do, but they are not then willing to take responsibility for the consequences, sometimes because they believe there are no consequences. But as we've seen, every single choice in life always comes with consequences. Fourthly, God desires for us to make good choices. God's word says that, "Oh, that you would choose life." We see God's heart there is for us to choose right in life. I think when we make wrong choices, it breaks his heart. When we make good choices, it blesses his heart. And then fifthly, choices are never neutral. They always take us somewhere. Choices are never just random. They never just abstract things. They are never isolated. Every choice produces an outcome. They are never just neutral, but they always set us on a path that will eventually take us somewhere. Let's continue today from this passage of Scripture. The next thought is this: our choices always affect other people. Our choices will always affect other people. God says in that passage, "Choose life so that you and your descendants might live." There is a direct knock-on effect on others close to us when we make decisions. I read this week about a young American man called Ethan Couch, and he's a typical example of someone who in his short life has already made a number of poor choices that have affected other people. On the 15th of June 2013, at the age of 16, he killed four people while driving under the influence of alcohol and drugs in his home state of Texas. He chose to get drunk. He chose to get high. He chose to drive without a license. He chose to speed in a residential area, and he then lost control of his car, and the vehicle crashed into a group of people on the side of the road who were assisting another vehicle that had broken down. Four people were killed. Nine people were injured. One of those nine was left permanently paralyzed as a result of the collision. Ethan Couch was indicted on 4 counts of manslaughter, but because he was still a minor, he was sentenced to 10 years probation, basically under the permanent supervision of a prison officer, and he was also ordered to go to long-term therapy. What's interesting about this is that his attorneys said that, no, it wasn't really his fault. He didn't really have a choice in what he did. And they labeled him as having a condition known as affluenza. And if you've heard that term before, affluenza, but it's something that psychologists have conjured up to put on kids who basically have grown up in wealthy homes where their parents have put no boundaries in place and they've simply bought them whatever they want and let them do whatever they want. Affluenza. I mean, how ridiculous is that? In December 2015, Ethan Couch again chose to break the rules of his probation. He skipped the country and he was eventually arrested in Mexico. And because he was now not a minor anymore, he was then sentenced to prison. And we see from his life that it was a series of poor choices. But in many ways, his life was impacted by his parents, who themselves were known for making poor choices. When Ethan was 10, his parents divorced. It had a huge impact on him. By the age of 13, his parents allowed him to drive to school by himself in a vehicle. When the principal questioned his parents about it, his father simply threatened that he'll buy the school if there's any further issues. By the age of 14, Ethan already had a drunken history of illicit behavior and alcohol abuse, which was known to his parents. By 15, his parents allowed him to drop out of school and do what he wanted. Both his mom and dad had their own criminal records. They'd both been arrested on a number of occasions. And so we see this whole mess here of poor decisions, but also the very clear effect that those poor decisions had on the lives of many other people. You know, I read this week as well, the death toll on the roads in South Africa last year in 2018 stands at 16,158 people. 86% of all those deaths were the result of poor choices by the drivers. 36% of the people that died in those instances were passengers when someone else was driving. And so again, we see the impact that our decisions have on other people. A writer by the name of Amy Grant says this: whoever once said, as long as the choices people make do not affect others, then they are free to do what they want, was terribly wrong and should not be allowed to give advice again. The statement is contradictory. We may not like it, but it has to be faced. The choices we make always affect someone. Think about Eskom for a moment. We prayed for Eskom at our prayer meeting on Thursday night. Eskom, also known as Eskom. Number of years ago, poor choices were made, coupled with corruption, and because of those choices, every single South African is now affected. All of our households have been plunged into darkness because of the poor choices that someone else made. There's a great passage of scripture in Romans 5 that articulates this so well. Romans 5 verse 12 says, when Adam sinned, sin entered the world. Adam's sin brought death, so death spread to everyone, for everyone sinned. For the sin of this one man, Adam, brought death to many. Yes, Adam's one sin brings condemnation for everyone. So we see here, because Adam sinned in the garden, his one sin affected every single person who would ever be born on this earth. Now, I'm pretty sure if Adam had a bit of foresight, if he had have thought a bit longer about this, Adam might have thought, you know what? I'm not going to disobey God because clearly everyone is going to be affected. Adam might have chosen instead to play golf that day or to go out and do something else more constructive, because his one sin, the Bible said, affected every single human being. And I know we like to think, yeah, if it was me, I wouldn't have done it. I'd be more spiritual than Adam. No, you wouldn't have. Because really, human nature is all the same. We all make choices and we generally think about ourselves only. And we think, well, as long as it's not really hurting one, well, I can do whatever I want. But we don't realize that our choices always affect someone else. The next two verses in Romans 5 show us the flip side of this. Speaking of Jesus, it says, Christ's one act of righteousness brings a right relationship with God and new life for everyone. Because one person disobeyed God, many became sinners. But because one other person obeyed God, that being Jesus, many will be made righteous. So we see both the positive and the negative of this. Adam's poor choice affected every single human being negatively, but Christ's one act of righteousness, that one act of laying down his life for all of us, positively impacted every human being and has led to life. The point the Bible's making is simply that our choices will always affect someone else. Good choices will have a positive knock-on effect. Poor choices will always have a negative knock-on effect. You know, if I think of myself as a husband, every choice I make affects my wife. I can't say, well, it's my life. No, no, the Bible says in marriage, we are joined together as one. Every decision I make affects her. As parents of our four children, every choice we make affects our kids. The values we choose to uphold in our home, the way we speak to one another in our home, the morals we uphold in our home. You know, I'm amazed sometimes how 7, 8, 9-year-old kids use F words and S words, and you have to think, where do they get that from? Well, I'll tell you where they get that from. That's why mom and dad speak at home. And by making that choice, we are now empowering our kids to go and do the same thing. You know, I think often even as parents, we don't think about the impact on our children when we make big decisions in life. Often we've seen so many people who are happy to move city and move country and move their kids out of schools just for a little bit more money and a seemingly slightly better job, not realizing the massive impact that uprooting has upon their children. The point is simply this: as parents, every choice we make, whether it be good or bad, has an impact on our children. You know, as the pastor here in Durban North, I can't say stupid things and live in a way that is ungodly and think, well, it's none of your business. I'll do what I want. You do what you want. When I make poor choices, it'll affect you. When I make good choices, there's a positive impact as well. As leaders, we're all leaders. If you're a Christian, you're a leader in this world. The decisions we make affect other people. The higher up you go, the more impact, the more influence. You know, we've seen over the last number of years the poor choices that leaders in government have made and how, again, it has affected every single person of this country. Let's not be foolish and think our choices affect just us. They never do. They always have a knock-on effect on someone else. And that can either be good or that can be bad. Can you say amen? Here's another thought. Our choices determine our destiny. As your life currently is a result of all the choices you've made up to now. What your life will be like in 2 years' time, well, that depends on the choices you make in the next 2 years. When you and I get to the end of our lives and we stand before God and give an account before Him, our lives will be the sum total of all the choices we've made in the time that God has given us. But our choices will always determine our destiny. I read about a guy called Reinald III, and he was a 14th century duke in Belgium. And at the time, there was a violent fight going on between him and his younger brother Edward. And Edward, the younger brother, ended up capturing Reinald. And what he did was he built a room around him with windows that had no bars on and a door entrance that had no door on it. And he said to him, you are free to leave anytime you like. The problem, as you can see, was that Reinald was exceptionally overweight and he couldn't fit through the doorway. And what his brother Edward used to do every day, he would bring food to Reinald, the best food in the land, and he would give it to Reinald. And unfortunately, because Reinald made such poor choices, he kept feeling that he had to eat everything that was presented to him for 10 years. He was a prisoner in that room where he could have chosen to change and escape at any time. For 10 years, You see, the point is simply our choices always determine our destiny. We see in Genesis chapter 4, we read about Cain. Cain, who was one of the sons of Adam and Eve. It says, one day Cain suggested to his brother, let's go out into the fields. Choice. And while they were in the field, Cain attacked his brother. Choice. And killed him. Choice. But the Lord said, what have you done? Listen, your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground. Now God shows him the result of the choice that he made. He says, from now on, you will be a homeless wanderer on the earth. Cain's choices determined his destiny. His destiny, unfortunately, was that he became a homeless wanderer on the earth. But what's interesting from this passage is we see it wasn't a case of bad luck. It wasn't that, oh, Cain just came upon bad luck. It had nothing to do with fate. It had nothing to do with the alignment of the planets in the solar system. It had nothing to do with his parents. It had nothing to do with being in the wrong place at the wrong time. It had nothing to do with the government. It had nothing to do with the economy. Cain's future was determined by the choices that he made. And he ends up going down in history as a homeless wanderer on the earth. What a terrible way to be remembered. As a homeless wanderer on the earth. Why? Well, that was the sum total of the choices that he made in life. A little bit later in the Old Testament, we read about a guy called Joshua, whose life had a very different outcome. The Bible says of Joshua that he was a great man. He was a great leader. He was a visionary. He was used by God. He was courageous. He was the successor to the great Moses. But Joshua's outcome of his life was also determined by the choices that he made. And we read this great verse in Joshua 24:15, which is like the summary of his life as he's addressing the entire nation of Israel. He says, if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose. Everyone say choose. Then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. Joshua made decisions that determined his destiny. You know, Joshua would have for years sat under the teaching of Moses. Joshua came out of Egypt. He traveled with the Israelites for 40 years. He went over into the promised land. He would have many times over heard that passage that we read together today. Oh, that you would choose life, that you and your descendants might live. He would have known that. And like all of us, he had a decision to make. He said, I can choose the popular path of death, or I can make better choices and have a better outcome to my life by choosing life. Joshua made an intentional choice. He says, me, my wife, and my children, we're going to serve the Lord. We're going to prioritize God. We're going to honor God. We're going to love Him. We're going to do everything in our means to make sure that we put Him before all else. His choices determined his destiny. You know, you might be here this morning and maybe your life is not in a good place. Maybe you've made some wrong decisions and maybe you're just kind of at that place where you're discouraged and you've become disillusioned with life. 1 year from now, your life could look very different. 1 year from now, your life could be completely transformed. But it's all dependent on the choices that you make from now on. See, you can make a choice every day when you come home from work. Instead of putting the TV on, you can read your Bible. Instead of there for 2 hours sitting there, flick, 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 flick. Then 2 hours later saying, oh, there was nothing on TV anyway. You can make a choice to actually read your Bible. Spend time in the Word. You can make a choice to pray instead of complaining. You know, I spoke on the prayer meeting on Thursday night. I felt God challenge us all. Every time we feel the need to complain about something in our country, imagine instead of complaining, we prayed about the thing we were about to complain about. How different would our nation look? How different would our own outlook on our country be? Every week we can make a decision to be in church, not to be one of those people who comes 1 in 3 or 1 in 4 or whenever it's convenient and I've got nothing else on my agenda. You make a decision. It's Sunday. I come to church. That's what I do. Your life could look different. You can make a choice today to begin to eat proper food, real food. Not all the garbage that we fill our mouths with and then wonder why we're always sick and unhealthy and got no energy. You can make a decision in the mornings to get up early and exercise. The E word that some of you quiver when I hear that word. You can make a choice to exercise instead of sleeping in. You can make a choice to start reading some meaningful books, books that will add value to your life, rather than reading all the trashy Cosmo, People, whatever magazines. You make a choice to save money instead of spending all your money. You can make a choice to be an encourager of people rather than gossiping about people. You say, yeah, but those are all small things. Well, they start off small. But remember, our lives will be the sum total of all the choices that we make. Our choices will always determine our destiny. Can you say amen? John Wooden, the great basketball coach, once said, there is a choice you have to make in everything you do. So keep in mind that in the end, the choice you make makes you. Here's another thought. Our choices are more powerful than our circumstances. Our choices are more powerful than our circumstances. Charles Swindoll, the great preacher, once said, life is 10% what happens to you and 90% how you react to it. I think many of us believe the opposite. We believe that life happens to us and that actually there's very little choice that we can do anything about it. But that's not how life works. Many of you might have heard of a great American man called Booker T. Washington, and he's really gone down as one of the great Americans of the last few hundred years. And his life is documented in a book that he wrote called Up From Slavery. He was born in the South of America in 1856 into slavery. He had no rights. He was abused. He was mistreated like all slaves were at that time. But from an early age, he chose not to be ruled by the circumstances that he was born into. He chose not to just accept his lot in life. And so he chose instead to work hard. He chose to be a man of integrity. He chose to honor people even though they dishonored him. He chose to educate himself as much as he could. He chose to read books. He chose to grow as a leader. He chose to forgive those who had persecuted him. He chose not to hold on to bitterness. He then chose a career in politics, not so that he could make a lot of money out of the expense of the people, but so that he could make a difference in the lives of his people. And his life moved forward so much that he ended up becoming an advisor to a number of the American presidents. Here was a man whose circumstances threatened to overwhelm him from early on, but he understood the power of choice, and he recognized that choice is always more powerful than circumstance. Proverbs 24:16 says, a righteous person may fall 7 times, but he gets up again. A righteous person may fall circumstance, but he gets up again, choice. You know, I wonder today, have you allowed your life to be determined by your circumstances? Have you become a victim of life? Have you become a victim of circumstances? The word of the Lord today, God says, today I've given you the choice of life and death. Your choices are more powerful than your circumstances. You might have got knocked down, but you still have the choice to get up again. You might have been knocked down 7 times, as the word says, but each time you have the choice to stand up and get up again. Can you say amen? Zig Ziglar, the business author, once said, getting knocked down in life is a given, but getting up and moving forward is a choice. You know, the easiest thing in life is to blame someone for your life. To find someone, to find something, to find an excuse for why your life is the way it is. You can blame the pastor. You can blame the church. You can blame the usher that showed you to your seat this morning. You can blame the economy. You can blame Donald Trump. You can blame the government. You can blame God. You can blame your husband, your wife, your friend. There is always many people that we can choose to blame for why things are the way they are. Or we can go to God's word and we can recognize the choice is more powerful than our circumstances. Someone once said, every test in our life makes us bitter or better. Every problem comes to break us or make us. The choice is ours whether we become victim or victor. Let me give you one more thought. Our choices determine where we spend eternity. Our choices determine where we spend eternity. Jeremiah 21 verse 8, the Lord says to his people, people of Jerusalem, I the Lord give you the choice of life or death. You know, the thing with choice and why it's so powerful is that choice gives us the opportunity to determine where we spend eternity. You see, we often think that God chooses where we spend eternity. God doesn't choose that for us. God says, I've given you the choice between life and death. I've given you freedom of choice. Now you decide what your life will look like, and you decide where you will spend eternity. God says you can choose life or you can choose death. He's basically given us two options. He says you can spend eternity in heaven with me if you choose life. Or he says you can spend eternity in hell away from me if you choose death. But then there are always people who say, yeah, but surely if God is good, he won't send people to hell, will he? Well, this is what someone once said. God doesn't send anyone to hell. He just honors their choice. Come on, he doesn't send anyone there. Hell was never made for people. It was made for the devil and his demons. But God says if you live your life in a way where you are always choosing the opposite of what I'm saying, where you are always choosing other things over me, he says when you get to the end of your days, I'm simply going to honor your choice. I'm simply going to give you what you spent an entire lifetime working for. He says, today I set before you life and death. Choose life or choose death. And the determining factor is how we respond to Jesus. You know, people often think, oh, hell won't be so bad. You know, all my friends will be there. We'll have a massive party every night. Don't be an idiot. Don't be stupid. How we respond to Jesus determines where we spend eternity. In Matthew 16, 13, Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi and he asked his disciples, who do people say the Son of Man is? Referring to himself. Well, they replied, some say John the Baptist, some say Elijah, and others say Jeremiah or one of the other prophets. But then he asked them, but who do you say that I am? And that question Jesus asked is the same question he asks of every person on this earth. It's the most important question this side of eternity. And our answer determines where we spend eternity. Who do you say that I am? Peter answered, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. You see, how we respond to Jesus not only determines the outcome of this life, but the outcome of this life then determines where we spend eternity. If we accept Jesus as Lord, we receive him as Savior. Our sins are forgiven, we live with purpose, and we have the promise of eternal life. But if we reject Jesus as Lord, we reject God because Jesus is God, and then he has no other option but to honor our choice and reject us for eternity. God's word is very clear. He says, today, I've given you the choice between life and death. Oh, that you would choose life so that you and your descendants might live. Can you say amen?
We hope you have been blessed and inspired by this message.